And let's unite together in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee today that we can seek the face of God. And we bless Thee for the wonderful Saviour. We thank Thee for the way that Thou dost lead us. And we thank Thee it's a good way. We thank Thee when we walk in the will of God and in the light of His Word, then we can say what a glory He sheds on our way. And we bless Thee, our God, for the paths and the direction that we have in God's precious Word. And our Father, we pray that Thou wouldst just direct us today as we consider what Thy Word has to say. And bless it to us, each and every one. And our Father, we pray that we might be willing to receive what God's Word has to say. May we be flexible and pliable to the precious Word of God. Do us good now and bless us here as we gather in Thy presence. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The story of Nehemiah is the story of the building of the wall of Jerusalem. And for years those walls had been broken down and were lying in ruins and rubble, and they were unprotected. And the children of Israel were under the oppression and mockery of the enemies. And when Nehemiah heard about the walls, he was brokenhearted and came down and was determined that he would build the walls again, and that the city of Jerusalem would once again be protected. And this chapter is the story of the actual building of the walls. And we've been looking at the gates in the wall of Jerusalem. And you'll see that in this chapter there's a list of 10 particular gates. And we are told who built where and the different places that the wall was built. And we have said that as you trace the gates here, they are pictures to us of the experience of the Christian. When you take them in the order that they're given here, we can really trace the experience of the Christian down through their lines. And we first of all looked at the sheep gate. And the sheep gate speaks to us of sacrifice, because the sheep gate was the place where the sheep were brought in for the sacrifices in the temple. And we looked at that, how that the Lord is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And we remind ourselves of the very foundation of our Christian experience, and that is that we need to be saved, that we need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And I hope that you're saved today, that the foundation has been laid in your life, that you've come by the sheep gate. And then the last time we looked at the fish gate. And the fish gate reminds us of the food that we take in, because that is the purpose of the fish gate. They brought in the fish to the fish market, and that was to feed the people. And when we become Christians, we need to feed ourselves. That's the very first thing. We need to build ourselves up in the things of God. And then they went out of the fish gate, the fishermen, to bring in another catch. And that's something else that we need to do as we become Christians. We need to reach out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to become fishers of men. Now today we're coming to the third gate, the old gate. Now the rabbis tell us that there are a number of names for this gate. It was called the middle gate, or the east gate, or the water gate, or the old gate as it is here today. Now it's called the old gate because it was the oldest gate in the city. And it was there in the old city of Jerusalem. Remember when it was a Jebusite city before David captured Jerusalem? It was a Jebusite city. And this old gate was there right back into the very ancient times of the city of Jerusalem. This was an old way into the city. It reminds us of the old paths. And today then, being the oldest gate in the city, of course it has special lessons for it. And being an old path into the city, it has special lessons for our hearts about the old paths and about the old ways that we need to walk. And so for a few minutes today, very briefly, I want us to look at the old gate, and I want us to learn the lessons that we need to learn as we look at it. And the first thing I want you to see as we look at the old gate is the pathway associated with the old gate. We said it was the most ancient pathway into the city of Jerusalem. It would have been the old path to the temple, or when the tabernacle was erected, the old path then into the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was a holy city. It is known as a holy city in the Word of God. Now, I know that there were times when it was very far from being holy. But we know that the Bible says that, that it was the holy city. Sometimes that's the name that is given to it. So this was an old path into the holy city. And the Bible reminds us, and we've read it earlier on, in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And I want us to say to you today that we need to walk in the old paths, the old paths of God's Word, the old paths of holiness, the old paths of righteousness. And we need to get the old standards and raise the standard, the old standard upon the flagpole again. And there are many things that we need to turn back to. Many of God's people are turning away from the old standards and away from the old paths. But the old gate and the old pathway here into the city of Jerusalem reminds us that one of the first things that any child of God needs is to walk in the old paths. Well, notice the old paths that are suggested here by the old gate of Jerusalem. Now, the first thing is that it was an old path of separation. When you went into Jerusalem, into the holy city here, and you entered by the old gate, you were leaving the world behind. You were leaving the places behind, the heathen nations round about, and the old nations that were there, and the cities that were there, and the enemies that were round about. And there's a definite thought then of separation when you go in by the old gate. And we need to walk that path of separation. We need to leave behind the worldly things. We need to leave behind the worldly atmosphere, the things outside. We need to come inside the walls of holiness. Get in, as it were, into the holy city with God. And we need to walk the path of separation. And we realize today that there is that wandering away from that path of separation. We take the world's music as an example. And my, how those things, that there's a putting upon us. What is worldliness? Well, it's the worldly atmosphere. And you think of the worldly atmosphere that's round about us, promoted on every side by the television, promoted by the advertisers, and there's the world's music, and there's the magazines and the films, and all that speaks to us of the world's atmosphere. That's worldliness. Now, the child of God is called away from worldliness. We're not to take the world's attitudes. We're to be different. We're not to walk according to the way that the world dictates. We're to be different. We're not just to listen to the kind of music that they listen to. We're to be different. And we need to come back then to the paths of separation. And just as this old path led people away from the heathen that were round about and the heathen atmosphere that was round about, so we need to walk away from those things, and we need to stand separate from those things that are round about us, the defiling atmosphere of the world. It's so easy today, with all the communication revolution that there is, it's so easy to be in contact with the world, and no matter where you may be, the atmosphere of the world is bombarding you, and that's affecting us day by day. We get those messages, and if you sit in front of those things too much, those attitudes of the world will be your attitudes. So we need to walk the old paths of separation as far as worldliness is concerned. But also, there was an ecclesiastical separation, because they walked away from the heathen worship. Now, round about them, there were heathen places of worship, and there were heathen places there, the shrines and the groves is the word I'm looking for. And the people here, when they came into Jerusalem, they came into the place where the temple was and where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. So these people here had to come away from the heathen worship that was round about them. And again, we need to be sure that we are separated from every worldly religion. Now, there's worldly religion out there. Worldly religion masquerading as Christianity. And we think of the liberalism that there is in many denominations. And of course, the reason why our denomination came into being was because of liberalism that came in to the church, and particularly the Presbyterian church, and how their students were being infected by the teaching that there was in the college that was there, and they were being infected by the higher criticism that there was there, and there was that coming together in the ecumenical movement with Rome and all the rest, and we warned against the Romeward trend. Now, there are many good people in many of the mainline denominations, I know that. But they are still being infected by the Romeward trend that there is today. And many evangelicals have been infected by the charismatic movement. And I know of good people. And they are people that would be saved and straight up and down. But they today, because of the charismatic influence, will take Roman Catholics that go along to the Mass and delight in the Mass as being born again Christians. And they will have evangelical ventures with them, Power to Change, the Alpha Course, and all these things. And you know what the Bible indicates? I believe that the Bible indicates at the last time there will be a great one world religion, headed by Rome, but also other denominations coming in, and the ecumenical movement will run on apace, and there will be a great one world religion. There will be a great one world denomination. And those that are involved in the ecumenism of this day and generation, the false ecumenism of this day and generation, are being infected by that. And they are paving the way for that. And that's why the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. It says, stand separate from those things. Don't get involved with it. Don't go along to it. Don't be involved in their organizations or send your children along to be infected by it or anything else. Touch not the unclean thing. And we've got to get back to the old paths of separation as far as that is concerned. There are priests today believing in the Mass and they're being involved in so-called evangelical ventures. How can that be? How can that be? Surely we've got to see that there's a breaking down of the wall of separation. Surely when we see even God's people, those that believe in the Bible and believe in being born again of the Spirit of God, when they're involved with those things, we have to see that there's a breaking down of the pathway of separation. So there needs to be a getting back to the old path of separation. Then there needs to be a getting back to the old path of sanctification. This city was a holy city. In Isaiah 52 and verse 1 it says, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And in Matthew 27 it says, And out of the graves, after they came, these people, they came out of the graves after the resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And of course we see in many verses of Scripture how that Jerusalem is known as the holy city. So when you went into Jerusalem, you were coming into a place that was holy. Set apart for God, in other words. Now we need to get back to the old paths of holiness and the old paths of purity. We think of the old paths of chastity. And we think of the old paths of modesty. And we need to get back to those old paths as well. Now, we need to urge the young people because there's a great pressure today. I've seen the programs in which to be chaste is something to be mocked. To be chased is something to be embarrassed about, to be laughed at. But my, we need to get back to the old paths of purity and the old paths of modesty. And I know that many people laugh at the old standards and the old paths, but those are the right ways. Stand in the old ways, he says. Those are the right paths, and we need to walk in them. And then the Lord will bless our souls. We need to walk in the paths of holiness and righteousness and purity. Is there that within your life? Is there that holiness within your soul? And then we need to get back to the old paths of worship, where we give ourselves to the worship of God and come along and join in the worship of God. And we make sure that we bring our family along to the worship of God. Now, I know that there are times when with young children and everything, Well, they can't be brought. But there comes a time when the children get to an age when they can be brought. And sometimes I think today that the children can be an excuse. In the old days, you brought the children along and you taught them from an early age that they went along to church twice on Sunday, and that Sunday was God's day, and we gave that day to the worship of the Lord. So here are the old paths, and we see the pathway associated with the old gate and how we need to get back to the old paths and the old standards and the old ways. So we see the pathway associated with the old gate, but then I want you to see the people associated with the old gate. Now there's quite a list of them here that are associated with the old gate, so we're not going to deal with them one by one as we've done before, but I want you to get a flavour of the teaching here by looking at certain of these men that were associated with building the old gate. Now there are those, first of all, whose names are associated with the sight of God. Look at Jehoiada there. He's the first one mentioned in verse 6. And it's the first name, and his name means Jehovah knows. And we know that God sees us. And God knows all about us. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he builds the old gate which speaks of the old path. Jehovah knows. Because there's nothing like knowing the fact that God looks down upon us every day, every moment, every second. And that Jehovah knows to lead us to sanctification. To lead us into the paths of holiness. How do we get astray? When we forget that Jehovah knows. When we forget that God sees. And we realize today that God looks down upon us. You know, the minister mightn't see. And the elders mightn't see. And the trouble is that some of God's people, when they come along on Sunday, they're one thing. And when they go out on Monday, they're a different thing. But when we realize that the Lord looks down upon us all the time, that leads us to sanctification. And what we are on Saturday night needs to be the same as we are on Sunday morning. And what we are on Monday morning needs to be the same as we are on Sunday evening. Isn't it time we stop listening to the world's propaganda and realize that Jehovah knows? And we see the name here that reminds us of the sight of God. But then there are names that remind us of the strength of God. Look at verse 7. The name Melatiah there means Jehovah delivered. And the name Uzziel in verse 8, my strength is God. Now if we're going to walk in the old path, we'll need strength, won't we? We're going to need power. It's not an easy thing to walk in those paths. It's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. We were singing there earlier on in the meeting. And I tell you, it'll mean that we'll be misunderstood. It'll mean that we'll be misrepresented by the world. And we will need strength if we're going to walk in the old paths. But I'm glad that as we face this direction in our lives, and when we face the road that God wants us to walk, then the Lord will give us the strength to walk in those paths. When we walk in the old standards of holiness and the old standards of sanctification and separation, then thank God the Lord will bless us. And God has not changed today. God has not changed. In many ways we have changed, but God has not changed. He's still the same today. And as he strengthened these men to build the walls of Jerusalem, so he will strengthen us when we start building the old gate in our lives again. And we need to get back to those old paths, walk in the paths of worldliness. The name Meshulam there in verse 6 means friend. You know, sometimes we might lose our friends when we walk in the old paths. Maybe our friends will not want to walk with us in the old paths. But I want to tell you that when you get into the old paths, there'll be friends for you there. There was a friend at the old gate. His name was Meshulam. And I'll tell you, if you lose all your friends, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So thank God tonight, this morning, we think of these names that speak of the strength of God. And then there's a name here that means supplication to God. Verse 10, the name Jediah. It means either praised of Jehovah, or Alan Redpath in his book, he says it means invoker of God. And he is specially mentioned here as repairing over against his house. And he worked in his own home area, and he was an invoker of God. And he sought the Lord, and he sought the strength of God. And as he sought the Lord, he built the old gate, the old pathway in the city of Jerusalem. And I know that what we need today, we need the strength of God, but we need to supplicate God if we're going to build the old path. We need to be in touch with God. And if we're going to be holy in any way, we need to be in touch with God in every step of our lives. We see this man here, his name means invoker of God. Have we been invoking God? Have you invoked the Lord today? Have you sought the Lord in the place of prayer today? It's the only way to build the old path. It's the only way that we can do it is as we rely upon God and as we seek His face. But then there's one more name I want you to see. And his name speaks of the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 11. Malchijah. And his name means, "My King is Jehovah." Now you could really summarize the whole thing by that name, Malchijah. My King is Jehovah. And if God is our King, we walk in the old paths. If God is our Lord, then we'll walk in the old paths. It'll not matter what other people say. It'll not matter what other people think. We'll walk in the old ways. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." Let the Lord be King. Let the Lord be King. It doesn't matter about anybody else. It's the Lord King. It doesn't matter about your friend. It doesn't matter about your loved one. It's the Lord King. Put the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If the Lord is King, you'll walk in the old paths. If the Lord is King, this word will be either your direction. And so we see the people associated with the old gate. But then I want you to notice something else. Notice the professions associated with the old gate, because there are a number of different professions that are specifically mentioned here. Notice the apothecaries that are mentioned. In verse 8, it speaks of Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. Now the apothecaries were the makers of ointment, or the makers of perfume, or the makers of fragrances. They were men who were involved in aromatics and spices and things like that. And isn't it interesting then that those that are associated with the old gate and the old way send out a sweet smelling savour. And in the Bible, it's always said that things that are pleasing to God send out a sweet smelling savour. We think of prayer that arises to God, and the burnt offerings, and they arise to God as a sweet smelling savour. We think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 and 15. Paul describes himself as being a sweet smelling savour as he preaches the gospel. He says, "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." He was a sweet savour of Christ as he walked the ways of God. And we need to be a sweet savour of Christ. Now, is our lives sweet? Our lives sweet? You know what will defile the ointment of our lives? Sin. In Ecclesiastes 10 and 1 it says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour." He says the little sins, like the fly in the apothecary's ointment, will cause it to send forth a stinking savour. Now we need to have our lives sweet before God. And any sin, anything that enters in there, will cause it to send forth a stink. And we need to have lives that are in tune with God and walking with God. And the apothecaries here, they remind us that we need to have a sweet savour. And then there's another group of people that are associated here with the building of the old gate. The goldsmiths. Look at verse 8. "And unto him repaired Uzziah, the son of Harhiah, of the goldsmiths." Now the goldsmiths there were those that made beautiful objects in gold. They were men who were skilled craftsmen, and they could take the gold and fashion different articles and treasures and valuable things and things that were to be treasured. And of course, as we build the old gate in our lives, the old gate of holiness and separation, then we will have lives that are valuable and treasured. In Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Your life will be one that layers up treasures in heaven if you lay up those treasures that are of value before God. And we see here that these people who are associated then with the old gate are men that brought treasures. And they were makers of treasures. Now I wonder, are we laying up treasures in heaven? You know, there are degrees of blessing when we get to heaven. There are degrees of reward. And it doesn't matter what material things you may have in this life. No, it doesn't matter how well you live in this life. As far as eternity is concerned, are you laying up treasures in heaven? Will there be stars in your crown? When you die, when you go to the other side, what will it be? And these men that are associated with building up the old gate and with the old path were layers up of treasures in heaven. And then there's another group that are associated with the building of the old gate, the rulers. Look at verse 9. "And next unto them repaired Raphaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem." And then it speaks in another part, in verse 12, of the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. So the rulers here are associated with building the old gate. And we spoke there about rewards. When God rewards us, you know, he'll make rulers over 5 cities and rulers over 10 cities. And there'll be different rewards. And the Lord will make us kings and princes, but we'll have kings, we'll have different, as it were, blessings when we get to heaven. And you know the Bible says of those that are his and use their talents well, he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And when we serve the Lord and walk in the old paths, then he will reward us accordingly. He will give us the blessings that we need. But all these things are associated with building the old gate. All these things, these blessings here, the sweet smell, the treasures, being rulers, they're all associated with this old gate, building the old paths, walking therein. He says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Is the old gate lying in ruins in your life? Is the old gate indeed a repair today? Does it need to be built up? Oh, you're walking with God, you profess to walk with God, but you're wandering afar off, and that old gate's lying in ruins. Get it built up again, child of God. Let's start building again the walls of holiness and the walls of separation that have broken down. Follow the Lord. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." May we build the old gate and the old paths in our lives today. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for the old paths. Lord, we think of this old path into Jerusalem. Our God, how it reminds us of the path of separation, the path of sanctification. And Lord, we thank it's the path of blessing. And our God, we pray that it might be a path that will be well trodden by each one of us. Oh, that we might live pure lives. That we might live lives that are glorifying to God. Lives that are glorifying to thee in everything that we do. Pour out of thy Spirit upon us. Write thy word upon our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Amen.